This is the Hoboken Grace Podcast. Whether you're in the car or enjoying a walk, we hope you're having a great day. Just like every weekly conversation, we hope today's message deepens your relationship with God and builds into your life in a helpful way. For access to our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
Excellent, excellent. Well, welcome. My name is Anthony. I'm the care pastor here. Excited to have you all with us as we are actually wrapping up our payout series today. But before we begin, one of the things that Pastor Chris introduced a couple weeks ago that we'd like to do before we get started in today's conversation is, you know, one of the things we realized is that, I mean, we've seen some incredible things, God do some incredible things over the past few months, but we've also noticed that those in our staff, those that are part of our church family, have been going through some really hard things. And so we just want to acknowledge that before God, but also to be able to go to Him in prayer and just asking, you know, in a way that we get to fight for our family as well. So will you pray with me? Father, I just want to thank you for this family that you've given us here as part of Hoboken Grace. We acknowledge that there are probably many of us here right now that are just going through some tough things. We just want to acknowledge that, and we want to be able to release that and give that over to you to allow you to fight these battles, God, to know that we don't have to fight these battles alone. And so, Father, we just pray for protection. We pray to watch over us, and that as we find ourselves in these difficult moments, that we can actually rest on one another, but most importantly, rest in you. We love you, God. We thank you for this time together, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, happy belated Thanksgiving. How was everyone's Thanksgiving? Good, 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 good. I'm a big fan of Thanksgiving. I am in charge of the turkey every year, but my wife said that is the only thing that you're allowed to be in charge of. I can't be trusted with anything else but the turkey. One year I actually made brownies and I mistook the recipe. It said a cup of sugar, but for some reason I thought it said a cup of salt and a teaspoon of sugar as opposed to a teaspoon of salt and a cup of sugar. And I was never allowed to bake again. So today we're actually, like I said, wrapping up this series called Payout. And, you know, for the last few weeks, we've been talking and working through decisions, right? Looking how decisions last for more than a moment, right? And in fact, we've seen that decisions can have exponential power in our lives. When I mistook salt for sugar, I was never trusted to bake again. That was a payout. This is why we've been using this illustration of a corn seed, actually. But corn has been our illustration, and our foundational passage is found in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. And all of these notes are actually, if you'd like to follow along in your app, under the Sunday section, there is something that says notes, if you'd like to follow along with these passages as well. It says, Galatians 6, 7 through 10, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. And so the book of Galatians in the New Testament, written by the Apostle Paul, was written to believers in the area. And he's trying to get them to understand that there will always be a harvest. Decisions are like seeds. Something is going to come from you planting it. And not only that, your decisions are not going to return one for one. He's saying that every decision you make has exponential power in your life. And just like this corn, right? A couple of handfuls of this corn, maybe, you know, four or five of these kernels of corn are not going to return just four or five kernels of corn. If you plant these five or six pieces of corn here, you are more likely to return on this. So we all understand this, right? We all understand the idea of harvesting what we plant. It happens in all different areas of our life. For instance, I got Invisalign about a few weeks ago, and I don't have my trays in right now because if I did, I would spit on all of you. And I think they should be sued for their marketing because it's definitely not Invisalign. It's definitely Viz. I've never talked like that before. But apparently, if I, you know, at least according to my dentist, who I know watches online, he's probably angry my trays are not in right now, but he said, you know, if I wear these every single day over the course of a few months, that, you know, my teeth are going to be straighter. And it all starts with me planting the seed of wearing my trays. And so we understand this from so many different perspectives. And what we've been doing in this series is asking you to ask that, you know, hey, I'm going to consider the payout of my decisions. Before you make a decision, we told you to say, consider the payout. So everybody say, consider the payout on three. One, two, three. Excellent, excellent. And payout is not just the word payout. It's actually an acronym that stands for the principle of actual yield over undetermined time. What that is that you don't know how long it's going to take to produce a harvest. You don't know how long it's going to take for a decision to produce fruit in your life. It is an undetermined amount of time. And as we come to a close to this series today, we're going to take you back to the beginning of the conversation that we had together. And if you were with us, you may remember that we've sort of learned that we can be kind of short-sighted when it comes to our decisions, right? We may understand that it's going to affect us long-term, but we still struggle with being short-sighted. We can forget that there is a long-term nature to our decisions. And the fear is that we're going to come to the end of this series together, and we're going to walk out, and we're going to say, now that I know the exponential power of decisions in my life, now I'm going to be able to make better decisions. But here's the thing. As much as you and I want to believe that that's true, I actually don't think it is. Now, don't get me wrong. We absolutely want you to continue to ask yourself, consider the payout before you make decisions. But even though our awareness of the decision has increased in our life, even though we're becoming more sensitive to the decisions that we make that are laid before you, I would bet that you are still struggling making the decisions, that you're still struggling with the decisions you're going to make. I am. And I'd be willing to bet that even in the moment, even when you consider the payout, you still struggle. And you're sitting here and you're looking at two different choices, two different directions. And if you make this choice, there's incredible potential for good. And if I make this choice, there's incredible potential for bad. And guess what? We still make the choice that has incredible potential for bad. And I go out on a limb and I'll say that most of us can look at our lives and our decisions over the past 5 weeks, and we can say that we've made the wrong decision at least once, even when considering the payout. And as a result, some of you are frustrated about this conversation on payout because all we've been doing is making you aware of the decisions and the outcome of those decisions. This isn't great at all. I'm just now aware of all the bad decisions I make, and now I'm going to be even more aware of them in the future. And I'd be willing to bet that for some of you, we've walked through this conversation on payout, and you've become more and more and more aware of the importance of your decisions and the impact of those decisions that will have on you long term, and yet you found yourself in situations where you knew the right decision to make, and that you found yourself in the midst of a battle, and that you have lost that battle. And you knew that you made a decision that's going to lead to destruction. You knew that you made a decision that broke a relationship. You knew that you made a decision that hurt someone, even if they don't know it yet. Your step was not a step towards life. Which is why I think there's more to it than just considering the payout. Because the answer just isn't in understanding the payout. And listen, because even though you're aware of the payout, you're still going to find yourself in the midst of a battle. And I think we all know that that it isn't enough to merely become more aware of the payout to help you win the battle. And truth be told, this is a battle that we all face. In fact, the passage in Galatians that we've been studying talks about this kind of battle. Verse 8 says, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. He says there's flesh and there's spirit. He says, don't sow the flesh, sow to please the Spirit. And as you engage in God's word and you read through the scriptures, you're going to find the terms the flesh and the spirit are constantly used when it comes to this idea of battle, right? And there's more to this than knowing the consequences, because there's a battle going on inside of you between the spirit and the flesh. And the fear is that we can get to the battle because we're not aware of the consequences. And the fear is that we're going to be able to get through this battle, right? But that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying we're not meant to just go through it. And Jesus himself even speaks to this battle. And when Jesus speaks to this, not only does he talk about the battle, but he tells us how to win the battle. And of course, Jesus teaches about a seed when he uses this picture. And so there's a passage in the book of John, right? And it's in chapter 12, where Jesus is having a conversation to his followers. And to give you a little bit of context about when he's having this conversation, he is just about to go to the cross, right? He is merely hours from experiencing incredible pain and dying on the cross. And he's struggling with that. He's struggling with that, and he's battling through that. And as you will see, not only is he addressing the payout, but he's also going to tell us how we can win the battle. So we're going to pick it up in John chapter 12. Passage will begin in verse 23. It says, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Now, as we look at this passage and know that he's about to go on to the cross, and yes, it's a picture, right? We know for sure that this is a picture of what he's going to do, right? Like, we know that he himself is going to physically die, and as a result of his death, many are going to be brought back to life. He is going to give his life for you. He's going to give his life for me, and as a result of his death, there's going to be an incredible harvest. People are now going to be able to go and come and go to the Father and be a part of this family because of what Jesus Christ is about to do in this moment. But as he continues in this passage, he doesn't just talk about his framework of experience, right? In fact, he not only talks about his experience, but he brings our experience into it. Because he realized this just isn't for him. This is for us as well. And so he's showing us what it's like, that it's like this seed. And he said, If a seed wants to produce its harvest, it can't do it all on its own. As he says in this verse, he says the seed has to die. And if the seed will die, there's something that can happen in it, and then it can produce a harvest. Just as a seed will never become a plant unless it stops just being a seed. In essence, it does need to die. It needs to be buried before it can sprout, before there can be fruitfulness, before there can be resurrection. There has to be death. And so as a result, he paints that picture. Then he continues in verse 25. He says, "Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Now, this may seem kind of hard and out of left field, but again, he's painting a picture for us. He just got done telling us that until the seed is planted in the ground and it dies, it cannot bear any fruit. It's just a seed. But if it's sacrificed, it produces a large crop. So if a seed stays in your hand, it will remain nothing. It will remain just a single seed. But if that seed gets planted into the ground, it will germinate and it will sprout and it will produce new life. So in this context, yes, Jesus is a seed. His death produces a harvest. But Jesus also connects his own death with the call of discipleship, right? We are his disciples when we walk into this relationship with Jesus. Not only is he talking to the disciples that are there in this moment, but there are disciples that he's talking to all who would follow Jesus Christ, even to us today. And verse 25 is the restatement of the illustration in verse 24, but it's also an invitation to Jesus' disciples to follow his example. And so what does he mean? What's this idea of hate his life? Right? What does it mean if a person hates his life? How does that work in context of a seed? Well, if a seed loves its present form of existence, right? If it loves just being a seed, right? Though it's lonely and refuses to be buried into the ground, then it's only going to remain a seed. One single seed. And eventually this lonely seed will lose all its ability to be able to sprout and it'll just become an inactive seed. But if this seed, quote unquote, hates its life and says, I prefer to lay down this present form of existence so that I can produce a harvest, then it'll be planted in the ground and then it can produce a harvest. It's not so much that the seed just hates its present existence, but it realizes it pales in comparison to the harvest that it can bring, and it's not something worth holding on to. So he continues. And the thing I love about this next part is that, okay, he's talked about the journey, he's talked about the cost of discipleship, but now he lets us in to what Jesus is going through. He lets us into the struggle, he lets us into the battle. Verse 27, he says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And I love that he lets us into this moment with him because think about it. I mean, the reality of the cross is getting closer and closer. The weight of the reality of what's about to happen is sinking in. And you can see this battle playing out. Should I ask God to take it away, or do I realize that this is the very reason I came? And he's looking at this decision before him and he's saying, do I hold onto my life, or do I give it up for the sake of many? He recognized that his death was necessary in order to carry out God's plan of salvation. And yet, look at what he says, verse 28, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. And when Jesus said, Father, glorify your name, Jesus goes from literally, Father, my soul is troubled. A more literal translation of that means, Father, my soul has been thrown into confusion. He goes from that into, Father, glorify your name, because he's beginning to feel the overwhelming pressure of the decisions that's laid before him. Should he ask God to spare him, or should he take the path that would lead to him fulfilling his purpose? He even says, this is the very reason I came. This whole of his life's dedication is found in this moment. Then he was determined to do what God wanted him to do. And then we hear this loud voice from heaven basically affirming his decision, right? And in a way, that voice was telling Jesus, you got to consider the payout. You got to consider the payout. He says, I've glorified it. I've glorified it and I will glorify it. I will glorify it again. He says, I've been faithful in the past and I'm going to be faithful in the future. And we see that throughout Scripture that Jesus consistently considers his payout as he goes to the cross. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That phrase, for the joy set before him, means he knew the payout. And even in this passage in John, we see God affirming that. He says, listen, I'm going to glorify this moment. I'm going to use this moment. But I think Jesus allows us into this moment for a few reasons. One of them being that he wants us to know that we, as his disciples, are going to struggle as well. You're going to be in the midst of a really, really difficult decision. And while you're making those difficult decisions, you're going to consider the payout, but you're not going to be enough. That alone, considering the payout, is not going to be enough to carry you through. And what's going to help you to make this decision, if we look at Jesus' example, is not just considering the payout, but you're actually going to need to also die to yourself. Your ability to be able to move through and understand the payout isn't going to be based on some knowledge that you've acquired or because you're strong enough. It's going to be because you are going to learn to die to yourself. Because it's in this passage in John, yes, there is a moment where Jesus is going to die physically on the cross. But when you get to this moment in John 12, you realize that Jesus has been dying to himself the whole time, even before he gets to the cross. And as you get into these moments in your life where you're considering the payout and there's these two roads and you can take, and yet you believe that you're going to be able to make the right decision based on your strength and your knowledge, you realize that you're not going to be able to win by being stronger. You're going to win by dying to yourself. And one of the lies that can creep in is that you are strong enough to do this. And listen, I understand that over the conversations over the past few weeks can feed that, because when you hear about God talking about the principle of the payout, you can leave here with this belief that you can make these decisions on your own. But here's the thing, from personal experience, there are some battles that you're never going to be strong enough to win on your own. I became a believer when I was 23 years old, and I walked into this relationship with Jesus. I was in grad school. I was living in Montgomery, Alabama at the time, and during that first few months of becoming a believer and learning what it meant to follow Christ, God really just started opening up my eyes to things that needed to change in my life, things that at one point I thought wasn't affecting me, things that at one point I thought was no big deal. And to be perfectly honest and candid and frank, one of those things in my life at that time was pornography. And as I began walking with God, I would learn more and more about the destructive nature of pornography. And I tried to muscle through it and quit it on my own for a long time, only to fall into this repetitive pattern over and over and over again. And I would fall into its trap, knowing full well what it was doing to my relationships, that it was addictive, that it gave unrealistic expectations, that it actually, you know, contributed more to my loneliness. I knew all of these things, and yet I was in this destructive cycle. I knew the payout. I knew the consequences. But this flesh, as it says in Galatians, was always seeming to win. And I felt so defeated. I felt so full of shame and guilt. I could barely turn to God and let alone worship him and ask for forgiveness. I mean, I felt like I was leading such a lie. I felt like I was leading such a double life. I mean, here I am, you know, just walking this relationship with Jesus. I'm serving. I'm going to church. I'm in a small group, and yet I'm living this lie behind closed doors. And I realized that there's no point in Scripture that says you're going to be stronger. There's also no point in Scripture that says you need to be stronger. Never. He actually comes to you and says, I'm strong enough. If you will die to the idea that you can do it, then I can do it through you. This is the idea that's just so ingrained in us. Like, I just have to try harder. I just have to be stronger. I just have to give more. But the answer is never going to be found in your strength. The answer wasn't and isn't found in my strength. The hope is not in us. The hope is not because you understand the payout, you're now going to be able to win the battle. My hope is not that I'm going to be strong enough to win the battle. My hope is that I'll finally get out of the way enough for him to be able to live through me. My hope is that I'll finally be able to die to myself enough with his strength, finally able to be displayed through me. Yeah. I mean, if I were to pick up this seed, you would see that it's hard. Ah. Sorry. Right? You'll see that it's hard. Right? It's a hard seed. But here's the thing. If it's protected, that's what protects it. That's what makes it able to survive. Right? The problem is that the way that it is now, no new life can spring from it. Right? The potential for new life is in it, but it can't push through in its certain form. I used to be in what my school called the Greenhouse Club because I was a nerd, and I thought that I would join that club since I had no real athletic ability or clearly at that point any hope of getting a girlfriend. But what I learned being a member of the Greenhouse Club, right, stuck with me. I learned something about seeds, and what needs to happen is that a seed needs to go into the ground, and the moisture and everything around it actually, in a way, begins to decompose it, right? And so as it decomposes, it actually becomes softer and softer, and as a result of that, new life is able to push through. Well, that's exactly what Jesus was talking about, right? In chapter 12, verse 24, right? Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Its death is what allows the new seed to emerge, and it produces many seeds. It produces a harvest. Now, how do we do that? How do we die to ourselves in order to produce a harvest? Well, over the years when I was battling this when I was battling pornography, I learned three really important things that have helped me in this battle, and I believe that's what Jesus is calling to us today when we look at this passage. Okay, so the first thing you have to do, and the first thing I did, was I had to make the initial decision. Right? I had to say, I have no hope, God, but you. I'm not going to be able to do it. I can't do it. I'm not strong enough to do it. I'm not going to be able to figure this out on my own, right? I remember what exactly this moment was for me. I was driving in my truck, and I pulled over to the side of the road, and I slammed my hands on my steering wheel, and I said, God, I can't do this anymore. Enough is enough. And for some of you, this is where you need to start. Because you are journeying with us here, and you're learning from Christ, but it's still all about you, right? It's still, you're the one who's going to figure this out. You're the one who's going to make this happen. And you're taking what you want from Jesus, and you're taking the truth from wherever else you think it comes from, and then you're piercing it, you're piecing it together into this thing, but it's still all about you. It's dependent on you. But guess what? It doesn't work that way. And you can continue to try that, you can continue to walk down that road, but here's the thing, if you're anything like me, you're not going to be strong enough to win this battle on your own. The hope is not you. The hope is not you, and Jesus comes to you today and says, I can do it through you if you'll finally stop believing in you and start believing in me. Yeah. And that's the initial decision. For some of you, that's your next step. That moment when you start this conversation and you say, I need you, God, I can't do this without you. And so I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision that once and for all, I was going to believe that I couldn't overcome this on my own because it failed over and over again, but I was going to declare, God, I need you and I can't do this without you. And the second thing I needed to do was not to allow things in my life that was going to feed the wrong thing. The scriptures say, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So even today, I watch very carefully what I allow into my life. What I put before my eyes, I want nothing. I want nothing to bring the flesh back into my life. I sow nothing that will awaken my flesh. And then the last thing that you do is you realize something. Is that you don't just die once. You got to wake up every single day and you got to kill it. Because if you don't, it has the incredible ability to come back to life. So here we are almost 20 years later. I still have filters on all of my devices, on my phone, on my computer, on my iPad. I still also have this accountability software on all my devices. This is a crazy cool software. I've had it on my computers and stuff for as long as I can remember. But what it does is that it sends a report of everything I scroll, everything I look at, everything I glance at, everything I search to my pastor in Alabama, to my wife, to an accountability friend that I have here at the church, and to my dad. I mean, it's very sensitive, right? And my dad's getting a little bit older, so he's calling me on some things he doesn't quite understand anymore. Like the other week, he called me and he's like, "Son, I gotta ask you about this search." And I was like, "Dad, it was just a recipe. I was trying to look for a good turkey recipe. That's why it says thigh and breast." My wife also knows that she has complete access to all of my devices. She has all my passcodes. She has all my passwords. I want her to know. I want her to know that there's nothing that I'm hiding anymore. You know why? Because I love my wife. And I love my kids. And God, I love what I get to do here. And I love what God has called me to do here. And I know that if I was to allow old Anthony to come back to life, all of that could be gone. Like that. And so every single day, I have to wake up and I have to die to myself. I've got to kill it. And I tell this to everyone. Listen, I'm the accountability partner for guys here in the church as well. I'm always willing to talk about to anyone who's going through this battle because I've been there, and there's no reason, there's no victory in doing this alone. So you have to wake up every day and you have to die to yourself. And once you do that, you begin this process. And that's what this is, my friends. This is a process. It's not going to happen overnight. Jesus even talks about that. He says this in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. "And then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross
daily."
I'm sorry, what? Take up their cross
daily.
"And follow me." It doesn't say they have to take up their cross weekly or monthly or when I screw up, but that we have to do it daily. This is not something you decide once. Why? Because you have an incredible ability to be able to come back into the picture. We have this incredible ability to come back to life and to become the center of everything again. So even today, this is something that I do every single day. I have to die to myself. There's no hope in me. My only hope is that he does something through me. And I don't know what that looks like for you. It may not, it being about you may not show up the same way that it does for me. But we want to put you on a journey today where you start to have that conversation with God, where you go to him and you begin to work through what it looks like to die to yourself every single day. What does it look like in your conversation with him to practice dying to yourself every day and bringing your hope completely to him? Because remember, this is not just about the negative. When Jesus died, he brought us salvation. Because when you go to him and say, "My hope is completely in you, so how do I serve you? How do I love you, God? My prayer is that I am just a shell of a seed through which you live. I want to die so that you can live." Because as Jesus points out, that if the seed will die, it will produce a bountiful harvest. And so today, as we go out, I want to encourage you. We have a lot of corn. We have a lot of corn left over. And I want to encourage you to take maybe just a few kernels, maybe a handful, whatever it is. And I want you to place it on your nightstand or on your desk, somewhere that you can see it. And I want you to do it as a, I want it to allow you to remind you to die to yourself, to consider the payout, and to live life expectantly. Trusting God's promise about the payout so that we begin to live our lives not in our own confidence and in our own strength, but in confidence of the fact that we are just a shell of a seed, but that God has promised that if we die to ourselves, he then can use us to bring an incredible harvest. Will you pray with me? Father, I want to thank you for this truth that we've been walking through for the last few weeks. The incredible principle of the payout. Father, may we never lose it. May we never let it escape from our minds that you are working. And like I said, it's not just about the negative. It's not just about the negative. This has the ability to change lives, to change families. And so, Father, maybe when we consider the payout, help us to not only consider the payout, but also to realize that we can't do it on our own. And this isn't an invitation for shame. This isn't an invitation for guilt. This is an invitation for freedom. This is an invitation for you to work through us. So, Father, during this next song, help us to take the posture of praise. Because there's something about when we lift up our hands, we're releasing it to you and saying, Father, I can't, but you can. And so, Father, help us to walk into your presence, making that initial decision to give it all to you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.